You're listening to Live from the Back Room on 106.1 Flip FM. I'm the big boy, and I am here with Eli Ray. Eli, thank you so much for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Eli, if you would, introduce your partner in crime here.
Yeah, this is my older brother, not to be mistaken for my younger brother, Fernando. yeah, he's my lead guitar player. I don't go anywhere without him.
So you guys have been on the road now. You are from the northern Colorado area.
Mm-hmm.
And let me ask you before I get too far, did I say that right? Because, you know, native Coloradans say it differently than...
you know, I didn't know that until I got down here. Because somebody asked me where I was from, and I said Colorado. And they said, oh, yeah, I can tell you're from there because you didn't say Colorado. Yeah, I guess I say it a different way.
you and everybody else in the state, so yeah. Don't feel bad.
Yeah, I had no idea until I thought everybody else in the United States said it that way.
Welcome to Texas, yeah. So you're from northern Colorado. You're heading back there, kind of the end of a tour of Texas. Tell us about you.
I'm 29. I'm just starting, red dirt Texas music. I have been a worship leader for the last 4 years at a church in northern Colorado, and you know, I've always wanted to go out and play music. Obviously, I've been playing music as young as 11 years old, and most of it had been in gospel music. I'd actually come out to Lubbock quite often to play, you know, gospel music. But the last years of doing gospel, I kind of got into, you know, country music, backing bands, you know, was playing a very popular honky tonk, you know, in Denver called the Grizzly Rose, and was there for 2 years or so, and was really pursuing country music. You know, stuff kind of just came to a halt, and I took a job at a church and ended up being there for 4 years. And in that time, you know, Fernando and I, you know, started writing songs, you know, with friends and, you know, kind of just putting together material. And I just decided to go for it. We've been down here for a little over 2 weeks now and playing. We got to play some shows, which have been really good for us. Unfortunately, they were outside and, you know, we're from northern Colorado, so it was really hot. But yeah, it's been great.
That humidity will kill you the further south you go. So.
Oh my gosh, it was probably the worst like that I've sweat during a show. You know, I wasn't even moving that much. I'm like, here's the deal. You know, not going to entertain as much, you know, this afternoon because, you know, I can just see it being a mess and literally just me standing there and strumming my guitar was just, you know, like somebody had poured a bucket over me.
You know, as many Texans who go to up to Colorado for vacation, though, you can just say, look, I'm from the Front Range. I'm not used to this. I can't handle it.
Yeah, for real. Honest, and it's interesting, too, to see how many Texans have, you know, made their way up to Colorado, especially to ski. Mm-hmm. And I'm from, you know, Colorado, and I've been snowboarding once mm-hmm. in my life, you know, it's just one of those things. I'm just like, you know, everybody else comes up here to do that. And I live here and, you know, I don't need to do that.
Yeah. We were talking before the show, my wife's family is all from up there. I think they've been maybe like, I think my wife has gone once,
yeah,
you know, and
yeah,
she grew up there. That's for everybody else.
Yeah,
you know?
It's typical. And there's also like small mountain towns you mm-hmm. just don't go to. Like we're 45 minutes maybe from Estes Park.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably know Estes Park, but
I do.
I mean, we don't go up there. Right. You know, I it's very rare that I go up there. And it's just because it's like a tourist thing, you know. You know, if I go up there, it's to take people from out of town,
right?
You know,
see, you're gonna take people
to
the Stanley Hotel, you know, maybe,
yeah,
depending on if they're the Shining fans.
Yeah,
you're gonna take them basically like over to the park to see if they can see a moose. there's like a candy store downtown that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And maybe the it's not a ski lift, I guess, but like the
incline. The tramway.
Yeah. So you can go feed the chipmunks up there.
Yeah.
That's basically.
See, you know all the things
I do, yeah,
because
I've done it all. Yeah. Eli, how do you get from pen to paper to song? Or even how do you get to pen to paper?
Yeah. It's funny because I was asked this question, like, where am I creative most? My answer was in the shower, you know? And it's like when I, you know, there's something about when I, you know, I'm just, you know, hanging out, whatever, you know, and something just strikes me, you know? And it's always been when I'm in the shower, it's like, you know, my best ideas have come to me then. And so I'll actually have, you know, a voice memo of me singing an idea or, you know, speaking out a lyric or something like that. I mean, almost all, you know, my voice memos have, you know, water running in the background. But, yeah, so, you know, I hardly, you know, some people actually love going pen to paper, physically, like, writing, you know, stuff out. And I've never really been that way. I think you prefer to do that, my older brother, Fernando. You know, I've never been that way. So, like, for me, you know, my creative process usually is, you know, listening to that voice memo and then writing notes in my phone, just typing it out, really just circling chord progression or whatever that I've come up with, you know, and just sitting with it. You know, I'll play it for couple hours, you know, sometimes before I even come up with a lyric. One of the songs that we're going to play is called Drunk Dialing. That's something that I wrote in 2018. You know, I always go back into my voice memos or read my notes and be like, what did I write, you know, back then? What was I, you know, what was I trying to do? And what didn't I finish, you know, and can I finish it now?
Well, do you mind playing that then?
Yeah, let's do it.
Do you need a? I can see if I can find a shower head to run some water for you.
Maybe if I need a, yes, a little more creative.
All right, this is Eli Ray on Live from the Back Room.
When I get whiskey in my veins, I see things in a different way. I'm headed for another midnight mistake. Don't know how much more I can take. It's no surprise that I am drunk dialing you again. You know I hate to be alone, so I call you on the telephone. Tell you how I've been missing you. I wonder if you feel the same way too. I wish it didn't hurt like this. I still think about our last kiss. Now I don't think I can live without you. You're the one thing I can't quit. You say you're tired of playing this game. I promise this time it won't be the same. I know it hurts when I call you like this, but I've got a broken heart that I can't fix. It's no surprise that I am drunk dialing you again. You know I hate to be alone, so I call you on the telephone. Tell you how I've been missing you. I wonder if you feel the same way too. Wish it didn't hurt like this. I still think about our last kiss. Now I don't think I can live without it. You're the one thing I can't quit. It's no surprise that I am drunk dialing. I can hear you crying, but don't hang up. You know I hate to be alone, so I call you on the telephone. Tell you how I've been missing you. I wonder if you feel the same way too. I wish it didn't hurt like this. I still think about our last kiss and how I don't think I can live without it. You're the one thing I can't quit. I'm drunk dialing, drunk dialing you.
You're listening to Live in the Back Room, Eli Ray. Fernando, I want to ask you a question real quick.
Sure.
So, first of all, I hear when you guys are singing together kind of like a very tight harmony. Mm-hmm. It, you know, from what y'all were saying earlier, sounds like y'all have been doing this together for a while.
Yeah, pretty much. Close to 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. We started singing. Our dad, I mean, obviously, when he was when we were younger, was doing music, so we just grew up with it. And then there was a point where he had a time where he had to step away. He had some health issues when we were small, and then he caught us singing at my grandparents' house. And he was like, "Huh, where'd you guys learn how to do that?" We're like, "We kind of missed the music, you know." He was like, "Right, well, stand up. Let me show you to do it right." And it started there.
So. Nice. That's what you get for singing together, I guess. So you guys have been on the road together, your brothers. So usually when you take road trips with people, you know, you kind of like you get irritated with them and you're just like, "Oh, shut up, I can't stand you." And I feel like there's an extra level of that when you're related.
Right.
So, I mean,
honestly, like we've been so tight, you know, and obviously you get the typical like, one guy wants to pick on the other one, you know, or, you know, that kind of stuff. But, I mean, for the most part, you know, we really never argued or fought that much. I think it was because maybe we started so young and all of us were experiencing, you know, really cool things, you know, at the beginning. I mean, we've done so many cool things together. I mean, one of them being, you know, we got to travel all the way to the Ukraine, you know, one time to play music.
Wow.
And, you know, so it's kind of hard to want to fight your brother, you know, when you're when you're going, you know, across seas, you know, and experiencing these kinds of things, you know, and to be at each other's necks or whatever, that really didn't happen for us.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
I noticed also when you're playing guitar together, you know, you talked kind of a little bit about how, you know, it's very tight, you know. Mm-hmm. You guys have obviously been doing it for so long. You know kind of, I guess, how to kind of weave in together. How has that being musicians together, growing up as musicians, and your dad teaching you guys, how do you think that's helped you kind of where you're at now?
The way it even started was Fernando started playing the bass with my dad.
Hmm.
And then jumped to, you know, guitar with my dad, and then I jumped on the drums, and I played the drums, you know, for a long time, and I would sing with a headset. Then my younger brother, you know, came along, and my dad, it was funny because my dad kind of was like, "Hey, we need you to play at this point, you know, you don't have a choice."
Yeah.
And so, you know, Micah, he sit in, started playing the drums. I went to bass, and so I started playing bass. And really, all of us just wanted to cut our teeth at the same time. You know, we would go down in our basement, stay down there pretty much all night, run the same 3-4 songs until they sounded right. That really helped us. But it also kind of instilled in us this desire to get it right when we play.
That's such an awesome thing to have, because so many people I think that I'll talk with who are like, "Yeah, I picked up the guitar because my friend was doing it, or I picked up the guitar because I saw somebody on TV wanting to do it." But, like, you know, to have somebody who's like, "Oh, you know, I did this because this is kind of how my family kind of, like, almost like a bonding experience, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Like, we come from a long line of, you know, worship leaders and stuff like that in our family. Especially, and like, I got a lot of family, you know, in Lubbock. And, you know, a lot of them, you know, have been musicians, you know, so, and those are like my great uncles, you know, so they've played, you know, my dad has learned stuff from them. You know, my dad's teaching me stuff that he's learned from them, you know, and then stuff that he learned on his own, you know, and I'd assume that's how it's going to continue to go in our family.
Yeah.
You know, it really is a way to, you know, bond as a family. And, you know, our get togethers, you know, we always got, you know, guitars. And
you should
sell
tickets for those.
That's right. Yeah. Come to our family, our barbecue, you know, within these hours, we'll play a little bit.
So outside of your family, then, who were your influences? What were the CDs you were buying when you were a teenager, or, you know, when you were kind of like, this is the sound I kind of want to go for?
Yeah. I mean, you can kind of hear it, I think, in that kind of feeling, you know, with Nando Solo. But we grew up listening to a ton of 80s, like, hair metal. The power ballads.
Rock on.
Yeah, for real. And so, like, those really influenced us. I mean, I'm a huge Aerosmith fan. I literally, you know, my dad was always playing 80s, you know, 80s stuff. He'd show me songs, and I loved that. But he was also playing, like, 90s country. You know, I heard it growing up. Wasn't always into it. You know, there were some songs that, you know, I liked, you know, growing up that were country. But really, you know, I took a liking to most of that, you know, 80s power ballads and stuff like that. I can't ever say that there's one, you know, in particular artist that I've been like, this, you know, this guy influenced me, you know, or this band influenced me so much, you know, to do what I'm doing. 'Cause we listened to so much music.
But now that you've said that 80s power, you know, I'm next time I get a chance to see one of your shows, I fully expect you to come out, like, you know, dressed in, like, the leather pants and, like, the kind of the shirt that's just ripped up and, you know,
you
the
might
hair
see
going.
It.
Oh, Fernando's got kind of got, look, got the hair going right now.
I was just going to say that. He's got the hair. He's trying to find leather pants. They're hard to find.
They are apparently hard to find, especially Northern Colorado. You know, they're just, there's not a lot of leather pants. I mean, maybe in Denver, you know.
Oh, yeah, you could, or Boulder.
Oh, yeah,
you could
totally
find them in Boulder.
Totally, yeah. So, Eli Ray, we've appreciated having you on Live from the Back Room. We'd love for you guys to play us out with a song of your choice.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to play this song. I actually just wrote this. Just a couple weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago. And, I mean, I guess it just really goes along with, you know, our conversation today. You know, my dad has been a huge influence in why I'm doing music, and, literally everything from learning or just, you know, getting up and doing shows and practicing and all of that. You know, my dad's been a huge part of that because, you know, he was doing it first, and we got to see him do it as kids, and this song talks about that. This is called, what do I call this?
Where I Belong.
Where I Belong. Yeah, it's called Where I Belong. I'd stay up and listen, my daddy singing songs in the kitchen. Yeah, he told me everything I know. He showed me every string on the guitar, taught me how to play from the heart, 'cause that's all he knew how to do. Every note, every chord, he was playing for the Lord. He made a dreamer out of me, singing them gospel songs in church on Sunday morning. He would never know what it meant, all the time he spent singing all them songs. When the band played and he sang, I knew where I belong. I'd grow up and go my way, chasing white lines down the highways. Six strings, the music scene, man, it was meant for me. Call me up and say, son, how you doing? It's a hard life that you're choosing, but I know you can make it. Every note, every chord, don't forget the Lord. He made a dreamer out of me, singing them gospel songs in church on Sunday morning. He would never know what it meant, all the time he spent singing all them songs. When the band played and he sang, I knew where I belonged. He would never know what it meant, all the time he spent singing all them songs. When the band played and he sang, I knew where I belong. Where I belong. Where I belong.